Hi everyone, this is another Campfire Conversation, and this is going to be a little different tonight. Tonight, instead of having someone else on whose story we're going through, or like we did with Wayne, we're bringing someone on and asking them about a topic. Tonight, I just really wanted it to be a conversation, a time when we could all participate just answering a question. And the question that I sent to everyone was basically this: in our journey, our individual journeys right now, what is it that we need at this moment? And the reason I was thinking and praying through this, and I was thinking about my own life, and I thought what often happens is we are up against something, and all that we're aware of is maybe a sense of resistance. It feels like we're contending with something. Something is slowing us down. And we don't usually, at least I don't usually stop to ask the question, what is going on right now? What I tend to do is just push harder to get to where I think I'm supposed to be that moment, that day, or in the future. And again, rarely do I stop unless somebody asks me what's going on to say, what is it exactly? And what I found in my life is that it's different things at different times. Sometimes what I'm up against is just I have no clarity. And I remember somebody saying once that sometimes when we cannot find an answer, it's because we do not have enough facts yet. And so sometimes I have to stop in that moment and really get to the facts of what's really going on right now. What am I experiencing? What does this feel like? What went on in the last week and so on? And then I get some more clarity and know what to do. Sometimes it's just something in my heart that needs to be healed, and it happens to be surfacing at the time. It happens to be awakening in me, and God may be just saying, I'm doing this because I need your attention, and this is what I want us to do. Sometimes what I find in my life is I just have no margin right now, and I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to pull from, and then I have to deal with that. Sometimes it may be sin in my life, and I just need to deal with that as well. So I just thought even if we didn't answer this for each other, but only answered it for ourselves, just answering the question of, what am I up against right now? If you're feeling a resistance or feeling like you're going uphill or feeling like something's coming against you, just stop and ask the question, what is that? What's going on at this moment? And so, again, I thought the power of just answering it for ourselves is enough, but as we hear each other, we may think, oh, okay, that brings more clarity to my story. Or perhaps we can bring clarity to the other person's story. So enough said with all that. I'm going to open up all the phone lines right now. Let me ask, would anybody like to start to answer that question? If nobody wants to start, I'll start with it, but I'll give it a second to see.
All right. Hey, this is Kevin. How are you, man?
Good.
I've got on. Well, I was on. I was just being quiet because I was trying to post the audio from my call that I ended with my members a minute ago. So,
yeah, I was amazed you got on so quickly because I was listening to you for a while until I had to get up and set this more up. So, yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I printed out or copied and pasted the questions that you had here and was trying to think of it in regards to calling, specifically. That I feel a lot of clarity on calling, but still the pursuit of it is, yeah, the difficulty. And, you put clarity as the first one, and at first I thought, well, maybe that's it that I'm hitting. Obviously, opportunity, and you just mentioned it a second ago as far as just the ability to just having margin in your life. I've got a business that's growing and seven kids, and we're just kind of coming out of illness with one specifically who my 10-month-old just really had a hard time with the little guy lately. And yet the lack of margin. And I found my wife and I had a bunch of nights just talking in depth and really looking at how we react to trial, how we react to the hardship. And what really hit me was somebody's got the phone on and the webcast going, and we're hearing me on the webcast. There it goes.
Okay.
But what really hit me was, you know, I said to my wife's name is Terry. I said, you know, hon, we are when things are good, when things are really good, we are real quick to just, you know, give God the glory. Oh my gosh, what a gift! And talk about it and be excited. When things are bad, it's all about us. You know, we blame ourselves. Where's God in that? And so it's really kind of spurred a discussion. Matter of fact, I was talking about it, just posting some stuff on Facebook today, and the thread has gotten longer than I can, and the responses that I can keep up with. But really just that, just, you know, in our calling, and I so often end up talking with folks and doing myself, going back to Genesis, you know, and here's Moses called to go out and do something. He didn't even want to, you know, and God called him and then lets him come to the Red Sea and then lets him run out of food and lets them run out of water. And so I can look at that and logically say, okay, obviously, yeah, even in our calling, it makes sense that there's going to be trial and tribulation. But of course, it's easy to say, in some senses, easy to even understand that. But to live it out in my life, I suck at it a lot because I get pissed. You know, the trial comes up, I'm like, are you kidding me? Oh, sovereign God, are you, come on, can I get a break here? And we're just really looking at our attitudes. So, I mean, we've really been hitting that hard. Gary, I don't have some this defining, you know, a theory to throw out with yet, but that's just the reality of where I have been. Yeah, I think it has a lot to do with margin and how I'm reacting to some of the lack of that. But really, then it comes back to what you posted as number one, clarity, and it's making us look at our own. I just, for lack of better terminology, I've been looking and saying, I think we got some theological flaws here, honey. And so that's what we're looking at right now.
Yeah. Well, Kevin, it's funny because when you started, I've been thinking about you lately, and I just, again, everything that you just mentioned, that you are, you know, young parents of seven children, you are running your own business, and it's the type of business where you're walking with a lot of people, and you're caring a lot. I mean, you have people that really want you to help them, and I mean, I've thought often, I don't know how he's carrying this thing. I don't know how he pulls this off, all to the point of thinking, you are a high capacity guy, but I've wondered about how you're doing margin-wise. So that makes sense to me with your life.
Well, I started doing some really cool drugs, and that helps.
Amen.
I'm down to like 2 hours of sleep at night. And I can think on a couple of different wavelengths. It's kind of an out-of-body thing.
That goes back, Kevin,
to the MLM discussion you guys were having early on. I'll talk to y'all about that later. I got an opportunity for you.
So that's really good. I was thinking, again, as I was reflecting on your life, I thought, I wonder how Kevin and Terry address the capacity issue in their lives. Because even Terry, I mean, she's a wonderful writer, and she's written a lot of really good blogs. And I'm thinking, seven children, homeschooling, and writing, and living with you, that's a lot going on.
Well, we don't balance each other out in that. We're both producers, and we like that. But then, yeah, it's really coming down, honestly, Gary, into how's our attitude when it is hard. And when we do feel like, okay, that's just a little too much. And what are my kids seeing? I got seven kids that, you know, they're mirrors. They see everything. And so we've been talking about it as a family. And again, just looking back and how there needs to be a place for, you know, for some peace in this. It's easy to endure. I mean, that's just, you know, that was my past pro athlete and endurance, man. I like it. But a lot of times I can find myself enduring some crap that just needs to change.
It sounds like you're always kind of looking at your margins, your schedule, how you're living, your pace of life.
Yeah. But you know, at the end of it though, it's just, you know, it's still looking at what would, you know, how am I viewing my Creator? How am I giving Him, you know, credit? And some of my closest friends that we've been talking about this, my guys group, and they've been hitting me with, you know, Kevin, you live like you're in control.
Mm.
Ultimately, that's what it comes down to. You live like you're in control. Even in taking, you know, blame or taking responsibility or taking action, you're still living like you're in control. Where is God in this? And know, it kind of irritates me to hear that, but I got to admit that, yeah, that's the proof. If you're going to do an audit of my life, there's some of that coming into. So again, you know, where am I giving, you know, where's my peace ultimately? And yeah, too much is relying on me. So yeah, stepping back, and even in a sense of calling, where am I having peace in this? Where am I giving it up to God, really?
Yeah.
So that's where we're at.
Yeah, that's great. Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody else want to jump in?
Gary, it's amazing. I think I was so busy from September.
Who would this be?
Who would this be?
This is Mike McDerry.
Come
your
on, Sam.
So
you know
clear.
Who it is. I'm gonna break down with some New Yorker on you one day, Sam. but so busy from September the 15th up until I guess probably a week ago when we finally got moved into the house, and I'm sitting here today. Wrestling with your questions, wrestling with a couple of questions that I have for myself. And I just realized how lonely I am.
Hmm.
You know, it's just to step away from a group of, you know, 50 to 75 men in three different locations and then just be here with you know, really nobody on a day-to-day basis, except for clients, and some of them I'd like to cast. you know, it's just it's been tough. I don't think I've realized. I guess I've kept myself so busy that I haven't sat down to really, you know, allow myself to feel.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was kind of sad today. A lot of tough journaling to write about loneliness and isolation and what that looks like.
So what? How does that end up? How does it show itself, this loneliness and isolation? How does it show itself in your life?
Well, I think the way that I notice it the most is when I fear being alone. God's forcing issues with me, so he's putting me, like today and yesterday. I had three clients cancel over the last 2 days who are three of my most consistent clients. I mean, it's not like they're going away. But it was literally to force me to sit alone with myself for a while and kind of rest. I could really relate to Kevin. It's so easy for me to keep my engine rolling at 900 miles an hour and not take the time to reflect. And you know, you guys know me well. I'm a guy that spends a lot of time internally reflecting on my own, what's going on. And I've just noticed I've kind of avoided that for a while. It's just, just reminiscing and thinking about what kind of, you know, if I made a mistake by coming out here and, you know, those kind of things.
So
yeah, I think it hits me the most, Gary, when I'm alone.
Yeah. And so when you, as you're recognizing this, what,
mm-hmm.
what are you thinking, at least maybe in this moment of how you need to adjust, or how, what do you need to do to get this out of the way?
See, I don't think that's it. I don't think it's an adjustment at all. I think it's God forcing me to sit down and rest and be in a place of it being okay to be alone for a while.
Mm-hmm.
Because my relationship with my wife and my kids has improved dramatically. You know, I know you and Sam, and Jeff, I think I've told this too, God told me about a year and a half ago that my ministry had become my mistress.
Mm-hmm.
And me and Ralph were actually talking today about it, that if I hadn't have stepped through what I'm going through right now, him and Lynn and a couple of other guys that are back in the South wouldn't be stepping into the roles that they are.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I get it. It's just not fun.
Yeah. So for you right now, you're saying you feel like what's needed is for you to stop and rest.
Yeah, stop and rest and someone to walk with. I mean, when I read that second line, I was like, ugh. You could have left that one off there. I've got the clarity, courage and faith, not a problem. Opportunities, I've got more than I can stand. But that second one, whew, that really dug deep.
So what someone that is walking with you, what would they be doing? How do you see them? What does that look like for someone to walk with you?
You know, Gary, I really don't know. It's the first time in a long time that I haven't had an older man that was at arm's reach to reach over and grab.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's great for us to have each other, but, you know, just that older guy that's speaking the wisdom into you, that you just desperately need. It's almost like a father's love, but not truly. It's just, you know, just phone conversations, you know, how are you doing? Because when you're a counselor, all you do is give, you know, you're working harder than most of the people that come to my office are working on their own relationships. And, it just feels good for somebody to say, how are you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Good.
Thank you, Mike. That was good.
Yeah, man.
That was really good. Somebody else?
Hey, guys. This is Tim.
Hey, Tim Shannon.
Yeah, just got home from work and dialed you up.
All right.
Oh,
thank you.
Good. Glad you're with us.
Hear. Yeah. Tim's the guitar player. To the right under videos.
How many people are online here though?
Well, we've probably got about 8 to 10 people on the phone line right now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I just thought I'd say hello.
Oh, that's it, huh? You think you can get away with that?
Come on, Tim.
No, got the emails and looking down the list, Gary, that you said, you know, that you put there. I guess someone to walk with, the one that struck me. You know, I've got that long distance, you know. I've had that with some brothers for years, you know, Jeff and a couple of guys in Atlanta and one in Philly, but haven't had that locally in quite some time. So that's the one that struck my heartstrings.
Mm-hmm. Mine too.
And so, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, that's from what I told you a lot about my history at the Holland Intensive, just I've experienced community on a pretty intense level, and I've been missing that for, what is it now, 12 years now, I guess. Yeah, 12 years. Mm-hmm. We've been surviving by long distance relationships, and mm-hmm. So that's what's lacking. And I look for opportunities. You know, we have people over, but so far, nothing's really developed on a really intimate way.
Yeah, I mean, it's right. It's more the depth of intimacy than it is the frequency of being with another person.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can be with someone and still not know them. You know?
Yeah. And so what does that, what do you think that kind of produces in your life at this at least this season of being rather alone at that level?
What does the season of being alone produce?
Yeah, what's it doing to you, I guess, in a way, or, you know?
Well, there's been, you know, good things, too. I mean, solitude is beneficial. Community is beneficial. Having the right balance would be the best. But, I will say that, you know, having been, for the most part, alone, you know, we've still grown in the Lord in a different way. I've learned to lean on Him more and lean on people less. I mean, that's, you either do that or you don't survive. and that's been positive. So I definitely would say I know the Lord in a better than I did 12 years ago. Not a lot, but a little.
Mm-hmm.
Because you know, he's all you got to turn to. And so that's been beneficial. So I've grown. It's made me grow up, I think, in ways. But I also know community also brings growth in a different way, in both positive ways and hearing people share, you know, just like we're doing now. And also it brings the cross in a different way, too, when you're living with a group of people. You know, you learn to give and take. You learn to die a little bit more. And so, you know, that's haven't been challenged on that level as much.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'll jump in. Again, this was fascinating for me to answer this too, and I needed it. I had a week, might have been last week. Time just blurs for me after a while. It might have been the week before. I think it was last week. And, I overdid it. I just overdid it in too many intense conversations, and which I love to have. But about two-thirds of the way through the week, I knew I had overdone it at that point. But it was on my schedule. I kept going. And I'll tell you, the only thing that I could realize by that weekend, last weekend to this week, was that I felt so dry. I mean, I felt like not a reservoir that had just a little bit of water, not even a reservoir that had mud in it, a reservoir that was so dry that even if something was put in it, it would just immediately soak in and still show nothing. And I found myself very angry at everything and everybody. I mean, the slightest thing got me angry. And as I was trying to contend with this, I realized that I had no capacity. I mean, I had nothing for anything. And everything was drying up the reservoir even more. And so I was thinking about that. And so I felt like, gosh, I wasn't watching the pace of my life well. I ran out of capacity. But as I was thinking about this before the call, I realized, well, what gets me to there, that's not the problem. The problem is this thing of I start to control things and I overwork.
Mm-hmm.
But the real problem with that is that I've got this fear, right? Things aren't going to go well. I had better get this thing moving. I had better work harder. Because I'm going to sink the ship. And I thought, gosh, that thing crept in. That creeps in at such a deep level for me that I don't recognize it when it's coming in. What I recognize is the anger that I fear, that I feel, and then I start to, you know, give to other people.
Yeah.
And then I have to back this down and go, where in the heck did this come from?
Mm.
And, of course, I go from the anger, trying to get mad at myself for being angry, to the idea of controlling, and then finally get back to this fear and this lack of faith that, even as Kevin was saying, this fact that I just don't know how much I really lean into God, that this is going to be okay, all of this, at every front, you know. And,
Gary,
been in that place for a long time. Yeah.
This is Kevin. I said on the chat I'm gone and shut down my computer, but I kept holding on the line. What you're saying, geez, amen. I mean, that's it. It really came out, anger. I didn't mention that when I talked, but yeah, where I just, my fuse is just short on stuff. This is ridiculous. Ridiculous. Yeah. So I, boy, what you just said sums up a lot of what I've been feeling.
Yeah, and I hate that. When I start doing that, I keep thinking, this is not the man. This is not the man I know myself to be. I am not like this, you know. And but rarely do I slow down until this question to say, okay, what's the cause and deal with it. Go back and try, you know, what's the fear from? So, because that starts sinking the ship really quick when I get there.
You know, I remember, Gary, this is Chad.
Yeah.
I remember when, you know, Wayne Jacobson mentioned a mutual friend we have, Tom Moan. And several years ago, Tom talked to me about an anger thing, and one of the things he said was, you know, whenever I'm angry, I always ask myself, what am I afraid of?
That's exactly what it is.
Yeah, ever since he told me that, well, as I say a few years ago, it was like 10 years ago, but ever since he told me that, I can always pinpoint my anger to fear.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Chad, this is Kevin. Man, that's a good word. I'm actually going to take that and hit my wife, and I will talk about exactly.
You're going to hit your wife?
Hit my wife. I'm going to hit my wife, by golly.
because Kevin's not afraid of his wife.
This is recorded, too.
I'll show her about anger, by God.
That'll come up in court.
That's really funny. People's.
I will like share that. It was hit her with. I will share that with her. That's really good, man. I hate that, man. I got to run, guys. Thank you so much. That was worth holding on till the end here. Thank you.
Yeah.
See you guys.
See you again. Right. Merry
All
Christmas.
Right, bye-bye. You too.
Somebody else?
No, this Tom Hancock. I just kind of logged in. Looks like
Tom
I
Hancock.
Missed most of it.
How you doing, Tom?
Very good. Who's this, Gary?
That's Jeff right there.
Oh, hey, how's
Jeff,
the weather
hi.
Out there? Any warmer than it is here?
Nah, it's kind of cold. It's really toasty in my little office here, but no. What's it like back there?
It's cold. Just too cold. But
who's on
hey,
right now?
So hey Tom, we've got about 10 people on right now. So
cool. Sorry.
Do you want to answer that question?
Let me listen.
Do you want to jump in on the question, or do you want to wait a little bit?
No, I'm bad. I just am here to be a observer. I didn't prepare.
Yeah,
I'm a failure.
I don't think so. Why don't you listen for a little bit and then jump in?
Please,
okay.
Okay.
So Jeff, how about you, buddy?
Well, you know, first of all, I just like to say, just listening to Mike, you know, Mike, I like hearing that how well it's going with your family, you know.
Yeah,
and,
it is, man.
That God arranges things like that, and we sort of want the full package, and yet, you know, he's doing this for a reason, you know. Maybe it's
oh,
a really
no doubt
kind of a critical
it.
Time for your son or your wife or something that you don't even know about, you know. So, I mean, I really like to hear that, And then, you know, Tim, for you, I think you actually needed that time to get the doctorate, to do the doctorate. All you were really going to have time for doing that with all that you put into it was your family. And that was enough
oh, yeah.
for God, you know.
Sure.
And, you know, and so how you redeemed that and used that time that you had to do what you did. So I just really loved hearing your stories and all. And I read the questions, and I really liked the question. I'm like, wow, that's a really good question. Then I'm thinking, Gary, do you think like that all the time? Like, did you have to go to notes to get that stuff, or do you actually think like that?
Well, I think like that occasionally. occasionally.
Yeah, I mean, that was an incredible question because, you know, one of the things is that I don't ask myself that all the time, and that's what I realize, you know. I'm just looking at, hey, there are things in there I need, but I haven't really identified it, and I'm not really asking for that, you know. So it was really challenging to go over those questions, and it was really good. And to be honest, what my heart landed on, and I was glad I did the intensive because it showed up in the pictures, my heart at this point needs to go all out. I felt like I've been in the classroom, I've been in training, I've had plenty of rest, all good things that my heart needed. And at this point in my life, I'm ready to sort of just go for it, you know, go on a mission. And so just the idea of thinking about going back to flying is going to take an incredible amount of strength. And
yep.
So I like that. It was actually in the question, physical strength. And so I like that, and just that's what my life's been like, is going, okay, working out, trying to do things 2-3 times a day just to build up the physical strength to get in top physical shape, because going back to work for the first 2 months will be like going to, you know, Dachau, you know, a concentration camp or something. It's going to be awful. So you'll want to go into it in top shape. And so then I'm thinking, hey, you know what? Maybe God's interested in that too. After I listen to the question, you know, I'm like, you know, I pray that I'm actually cooperating with Him as I try to get in good shape, you know. So that was a really great question, and that's where I went. And there's plenty of times when I could say, like you guys, I need more margin, or I need rest, I need solitude, or that sort of thing. And right now, actually, I'm looking forward to engage and go on mission. And push myself to the max, you know. That's what my heart actually needs. I need that battle, that where I go all out. And you go on mission with other guys in the cockpit in the way of, you know, getting a job done, everyone playing their role, you know. So the mission isn't just a lonely one, but with other guys. And that goes beyond flying, you know, I think of. I just love doing stuff like that. So,
Jeff,
yeah,
I'm so glad you said that.
Yeah.
Because what's so important is, you know, we're all in different places, facing the same direction on the journey, but different places. So it'd be easy for us to all agree with each other because that seems to be the right answer, you know. But rather say, no, for me right now, it's not that, it's this. I just want to get going. You know, I just need to get physical, whatever that is. I'm so glad you said that because I think that's true for all of us.
Yeah.
We're in different places.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I feel the need to give out, like what you said, you know, a place to give out almost as intensely as I feel the need for community. I'm really itching to do that. And I'm looking, grabbing every opportunity I have.
Yeah.
No matter how small.
And there's going to be an inbred sympathy when you come across other people who are in the same boat, like what you and Mike are saying, another person to walk with. It's going to be easier for you to see it, and it's going to be easier for you to identify it in those guys and to be there for them.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you, Jeff. That's really good. Okay, somebody else?
Dave Geyer here, if you can hear me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, David.
I couldn't find my BlackBerry, so I have like my 22-year-old wired headset thing that plugs in the home phone. So
you sound great. You may look silly, but you sound great.
I was kind of hoping I sounded like I was coming from the 70s or something, you know.
No, that's your haircut. But go ahead.
I'm not going to go where I want to go with that, Gary.
Okay, I'll stop. No, seriously, I'm glad you're on.
I'm just feeling the love, though. I appreciate that. Getting that warm feeling all over. But well, I mean, Gary, I talked to you, and I sent you an email, actually, just saying it felt, even our last conversation just felt like flyby, checking in. I don't know. That kind of feels like my life, like connected into a lot of things, but not really seeing. Boy, what's the question? Just I'm trying a lot of things. Part of it feels sort of survival mode, and I think there is a little bit of level of burnout if I stop. You know, if I sit down, I just can feel my nerves and things like that, because we're just in a place in our life that is tough. Where I don't have a lot of security. I don't have something that I go, okay, that's just not going to go away. You know, that's something I can depend on. Not a thing, at least. And I don't know if it's more clarity. I mean, we've been more aggressive in the kind of work we want to do with people, and you know, know, that's been good. And but, you know, I don't have, I'm entrepreneurial half by choice, half by, you know, need. And it's, yeah, it's a difficult place to be. I feel a little bit like McGage, you know, just doing a lot, not feeling real connected. You know, there's, and for at least from where I come from, I mean, Colorado, there's just a real busy kind of feel to it. I mean, folks are just busy. You know, I was in Toys R Us the other day, and I saw this just little preppy, kind of young, 30-something, Colorado chick. Hey, I saw her saying hi to her girlfriend, and they jumped into, heard you're getting a couple of new cool vehicles. I mean, I just didn't hear that conversation in Ohio. Like, you know, a woman going up to another woman talking about the cool new trucks they're buying. I mean, it's just, it's out here, you know. There's just a lot. There's a, you know, a decent amount of wealth and lots of toys, and people are busy. And, you know, the pay, I mean, the cool part of that is that people do stuff. You know, the downside is, you know, I don't know Mike, you know, what he was, his perspective would be, but I don't sense that there's a lot of deep community with people up here. You know, I don't think, I mean, obviously it's a subjective guess. I mean, how do you know 140,000 people? But the sense you get is I don't really have it, and I don't know a lot of other people at all that have it. You know, we open our home every Sunday night, and the message we get from people is just thank you. It's small. It's safe. I feel no one here. No one knows me here. So we catch it from other people, too. Yeah. So we're kind of building some community. It is, does times feel like an 80% our one way we give, and that drains you after a while just because of the people that, you know, just sort of life has brought to us or are in need. You know, we have four single moms. I don't think there's a week that goes by where someone's just not in quite a bit of pain or fear, and there's a lot of tears. There's some weeks it's me, my wife, and four or five other women. And I'm like, wow, I'm pastoring six women. That's just weird. In a good way. Just
I thought it was pretty cool this morning, David.
Well, yeah, it's just meaning, I don't mean weird as in bad. I mean, you wouldn't have, like, written down on a plan, hey, what I want to be doing is, you know, it's, and that's what makes life fun, too, because things just, you know, I had one woman call yesterday just in tears because they have a bunch of kids. She's like almost estranged from her husband in the same house, and that's just that. And I tried to reach out to him. I continue to. And she just called and just said, would you please call my oldest son in the house and wish him happy birthday, and could you take him to a movie, please? And, you know, she doesn't have any money. She says, I'll even pay. And I says, hey, no, that's okay. And, you know, so I took this kid and his, you know, 16-year-old brother, and we watched the ninth, you know, and the home's almost midnight, but it's just that kind of need right now. I just feel like we fight loneliness out here. And it's hard because my wife will take a toll sometimes. I mean, I haven't heard her say this, but in the last 2 months, I've heard her say she wants to go back to Ohio more times than I've heard in the 3 years that they've been here. And, you know, there's a point where that gets scary, right?
Right.
I think, Mike, you kind of said there's a time you're like, uh-oh, what have I done?
Yep. What have I done?
I've had a lot of months where I don't think that at all, but it's scary to go. I'm going on almost 4 years here in April. My family's been here 3 years since early December. It's not like we're in the first 6 months of moving and my wife's saying that. We're over 3 years here, and she's like, there's just no slow pace here. There's nobody that I can just relax with. There's nobody that just, hey, do you want to, you know, come over and drink tea and watch a flick, you know? So
right.
I'm hard-pressed in some ways, just, you know, starting a new business with refurbished cell phones. I try to build my tire business. I teach, you know, trying to find a half-time job. And I put a resume out every couple months for something else that I think, not couple months, every, excuse me, I do a little more than that, every couple days to a week. And
we're going to put
on
medical marijuana here pretty soon.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. But, you know, my wife runs her business with Arbonne, and I run the cell phone thing on eBay. I run a tire business. None of it pays a lot. And we're starting, I guess you call it starting a ministry. And there are days where I'm like, crap, we are starting four new things.
Hey, I'm butting in, Tom Hancock. My wife tried Arbonne. Is your wife making bucks?
Yeah, she's done well. She's in her 6th year. She's a regional vice president, you know.
Oh,
so.
Man, you guys are doing well then.
Well, yeah. I mean, she doesn't make a large income, but, I mean, she, yeah, it takes time. And because I don't have regular work, my wife now does homebound tutoring. It's through the public schools, and she's got two kids. So, you know, my wife's out of the home on another job about 20 hours a week. So we're just two parents surviving. We both have a couple of different jobs or more, and I'm not comfortable with it. I'm hoping it doesn't last forever. But, you know, there's days I'm just a nervous wreck, guys. That's all. I'll just be honest. I'm like a rabbit, you know, in a field just looking around going, oh my gosh, you know.
Well, when you said earlier that I'm almost afraid to stop and feel my nerves, you said that in the beginning, first maybe 60 seconds, that kind of said it all right there. I thought kind of about what you're up against, what you're working through, what you're contending with, you know.
Yeah, and I didn't quite catch everything Kevin said at the beginning. I was, you know, trying to get some things done while listening. But, you know, there's that temptation to go, and I do. I'm like, what am I doing wrong, God? Am I missing it? You know, there's that judgment that comes. Like, is this because I don't have the right plan? You know what I mean? There's that thing where you just go. So I just have to stay strong and say, hey, I'm doing what I can, and I have looked at other arrangements that would felt more stable, and they all vaporize. They just vaporize, you know, part of it's the economy and all of that. So, you know, I don't want to give a gloomy report. There's some really neat things happening with people, but we just feel a little desperate, maybe is the word, every month. You know, if you don't sell something, you don't
right.
get paid. I mean, we're kind of hand to mouth. You know, salary
right.
jobs, you kind of know what's hit. Well, you do know. You know what's hitting the bank every 2 weeks, you know? So,
yep. Yep. Okay. That's good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Who else? Who else wants to go? We got about 10 more minutes.
Gary Argos, David Michael.
Hey, David Michael.
You know, I'm going down this list and going, yep, need that one, yep, need that one, yep, need that one, yep. Need that one. Yep. Need that one. You know, and it's kind of funny living in a big city, been in a band of brothers, kind of transitioning out of that and finding some more. But also, Mike, your comment about having older men in your life, that has been a rarity for me. And so really having somebody with gray hair to speak into, to share with, whatnot, that is really a luxury. But the one thing that really struck me in listening to you guys is, Gary, you know me, it's real easy for me to fight for somebody else.
Oh, yeah, me too.
It's another matter to fight for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And that's probably where I am right now. I'm going, it's been hard at home. It's been hard at the office. You know, so the escapes are, you know, all right, let's come up to Colorado Springs, meet with Gary, and do a mission, let's, you know, do this, do that. But then get back in the reality of, you know, where Ellen is, and we're not on the same page with some of this stuff. And having two teenagers at home that, you know, are in the throes of teenagehood, and, you know, all that, I'm going, you know, I just, there are days I just give up. I just go, I just don't feel like I have it in me to fight this battle today. And so.
Mm-hmm. Hey, David, this is Sam. You said something that I think a number of us resonated with, and that
mm-hmm.
is it's easier to fight for someone else than for yourself.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Why do you think that? I mean, I think that a lot of us are sitting saying, amen, but you're the one that's on the phone.
Well,
Why is it easier to fight for someone else?
I think there's a couple of reasons. Number one, it it can be and is an escape of sorts. Okay, then I don't have to worry about my problems. I probably feel a lot more confident coming in and lending my strength to you. When I come in and meet you, it's probably easier for me to see who the real enemies are. And so, you know, I mean, those are just some things that come to top
of
my head.
No, that's good. Do you find it easier to fight for someone else because you see the worth in them?
There you go.
Well, yes, certainly. I mean, I have a warrior bent to me, so that actually is part of my calling. So it's easy for me to step into that when somebody else is on the line. But, oh, well, that's interesting. Thank you, Jesus. Yeah, I mean, the real message of the wound of my life is that no one will fight for me.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
So it's easy for me to shrink back into that and say, oh.
Yeah,
which
you're not alone
fighting
there.
For me, so why should I fight for me?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I understand that. I have the same thing. I mean, no one else fought for me, and I understand that.
Well, I think it's so hard for us that never felt like we had guys fighting for us to receive love.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's a contradiction to everything that we've felt or experienced in our lives. So how can I be worthy of love if all of my life I've been told that I wasn't worthy?
Yeah.
So it's, you know, that's what today has been about for me, because God has forced me to be alone all day in my office, except for my breakfast with David Geyer. And what do I need? What do I want? Struggling with these questions that Gary gave us is, it's a way of loving yourself.
Mm-hmm.
That's good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hey, man, David, I think you're a great guy. I haven't even met you, but just talking on your phone, there's something about you that's just great. I mean, I enjoy talking with you.
Yeah, thanks, man. I am a great guy.
All right. That's what we want to hear.
Let me go write that down.
I thought you were talking to David Geyer. Dang it. Oh, the other Dave. Okay.
Very good. So that's good. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. I can get about five more minutes. Let's keep going.
I can go.
Yeah.
This is Sam. I don't care.
Oh. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
Go ahead, Sam.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I would say that the thing that I'm looking for in some senses at this point, in a certain sense, is the opportunity or the expression. 3 years ago, I took sort of an early retirement, and so I'm financially okay. Immediately, I got into some responsibilities because I was available, and I did some stuff for a couple of years. So this is 3 years ago. I did some stuff for a couple of years, and halfway through that is when I actually met Gary and started spending some time with my calling. And one of the things that came out of the calling for me, I think one of the things Gary will say is that in a certain sense, you look back at your life and you realize you've been doing a good chunk of it your whole life. You don't know it, but you look back and say, I've always been doing that. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. There's a part of me that did it in every damn job I had, pardon my French. And I think one of the great things that came out of, one of the many great things that came out of the calling intensive for me was an intentionality. You know, in looking backward, I could see that I was doing it by default. But looking forward, I could say, you know what, I not only did it by default, but that's really me, and that's what I want to do more of.
Mm.
And, you know, that happened a year ago. No, actually 2 years ago. I spent some time sort of freeing up from some of the other responsibilities that I'd become entangled in. And now I'm sort of saying I'm looking for the opportunity or the expression to do some of the stuff. So, you know, we're all in different places, and I feel enough clarity, at least for the next realignment stage, but I'm sort of looking for the right opportunity for it. I'm not working at my job, so I'm not expressing it in that situation the way I was, and I'm actually backing out of some of the other responsibilities I've had. I'm sort of working myself out of jobs in those ways, and I feel like God says something's on the horizon, but I just don't see it. I don't know what it is.
Okay. So what you feel like you need right now is to kind of
clarity.
See clarity what the next thing is and what's this all heading towards.
it's a clarity towards what is the right expression, you know, in terms of where I put my time.
Okay. Good. Yep. And I, yep, good.
You know, something that Wayne Jacobson said at the beginning, I think everybody, I bet you everybody clicked with that, was his definition of elder.
Yeah.
That gave me some relief because I am not in the stage of my life where I identified the strength of my life many years ago and have been offering it and have had those opportunities and now can go for someone else. I mean, I'm just not there.
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, whatever. I don't know what age you're supposed to be there, but I just know I'm not there, and I just have to go. I'm still. I've got a lot of exploring and work to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing gets neat because there's guys here on this phone that are in different stages.
Yep.
I was sitting at the dinner table with my family, and I have a 22-year-old daughter, and this was just the other day, and I said to Angie, what do you think of when you think of elder? And there was this, like, cold shiver that went up the side of her back, and she just shook for a second. She goes, you know, not, you know, I just think stiff, suit, tie, you know. And that word has really been taken from us. And when Jacobson described what an elder is, I love that. You know, this, when you're caught in your worst moment, that's, you would want that man with you. When you find that guy, that when you get caught in your worst moment, you want him with you. You found an elder, you know, a guy who will show you grace and mercy, and yet tell you the true things to help you walk back into freedom. You know, and
I like that.
You know, I do too. There's just so many things about recovering that word that, you know, caused me to go, you know, I want to do that. I want to be that man, and I really think largely this group of guys is that group of guys. And we're not tied down so much to specific ministries, but we could be that floater out there. That guy goes, see that man right there? There he is. You know, just get up alongside of him, you know. And so it's done sort of off stage, one-on-one, you know, without a lot of fanfare, yet making huge impact.
Yeah. That's really good. Hey, Christopher, you and I had a good conversation on the phone last week, and do you want to take a stab at answering this question for yourself of what do you need right now? Christopher Cox, are you there?
Hey, Gary.
Yes.
This is Chad. You may be seeing my caller ID, which for some reason uses my middle name, which happens to be Christopher.
Okay, then. So yes, Chad.
That would
make
sense,
answer?
Chad.
What's your answer, Chad?
But you weren't really talking to me, so.
No, I'm not trying to put you on the hook, and I do realize that's the deal. But go ahead. I mean, do you want to answer that?
No, I will. Gosh, there's so much I want to comment on. I think, was it David Michael Jenkins that just said, yep, that one check, that one check, that one check?
Yeah.
Was that David that went down his list? Yeah. I felt the same way. And it's like I could almost say, okay, well, on a scale, you know, on a meter of 1 to 10, this one's about here, this one's about here, you know. And so I could really, I think, you know, maybe everybody can relate to that. But, gosh, there's so much I can comment on just listening to people. One of the things that's coming to my mind right now that I want to comment on is this need or this thing in us that we will fight for others even more than we will for ourselves. Rather than looking at that as being wound-based, I kind of got the sense, because I've been thinking about this as well, that maybe it's more our glory in that sometimes we will give other people what we're really deeply needing ourselves. I had a situation last week where I was talking to a friend, and he's been in the self-employment journey, almost as long as I have, since the 90s, and he owns a lot of rental homes, so he's in the housing industry, and he's a landlord, and he was buying and flipping homes to start, you know, to move up his properties and pay things off, but obviously in the last year, he's not been able to move anything. And so I was just hearing from him and hearing his heart, and he's just working hard, but I just sensed in him some shame, as he was just saying, you know, he's even right now just considering looking for some other work. And even though this has been his primary job for the last 10 years, he's looking to get a second, you know, get a job where so his rental income could become his money that he can start just paying down loans on the houses he owns as a landlord. And I just heard, I sensed some shame in just the journey that he's in. And I just let him know, look, we're all here right now. This is a strange time, especially for, you know, people running small businesses. And we're all facing things that we haven't in a long time and or maybe ever. And I just let him know, look, Brooke, I want you to know you are kicking ass. And this is not your fault. And he, I heard it in his voice. He just about teared up. It felt like he needed to hear that. But I just, I realized as I was telling him, that's exactly what I was longing to hear myself. And I, it was like I was wanting somebody to come alongside me and give me that same pep talk. And just to be able to give it out to him, it was like I was at the same time hearing it for myself as well. But it just really, it really sank deep that, look, this is not your fault. In a normal economy, you'd be doing very well, and let you know, give yourself some grace, and don't blame yourself. There's no reason to feel any shame about where you're at.
That's a great word, man.
Yeah,
that is really good.
Chad.
Yeah.
It's not your fault.
Hey, thanks, Mike.
Yeah, you hit it dead on, dude. We are all in a hard time, a time that this country's only seen maybe once, maybe twice. And I don't think that we really put that into the equation when we talk about how bad we feel about where we are.
Yeah, I think everybody's, you'd have to just be on the moon right now to not feel something around.
Well, man, my counseling office is, whew, I feel like I need to drink in the morning before I go these days.
What's wrong with that?
Well, so far nobody said anything, so I guess nothing.
Not with this group.
Yeah, but you're starting to offer your clients a drink too, Mike, and I'm thinking.
Why do you think they keep coming back, David?
A good single malt. Scotch.
I always, you know, feel better after I leave seeing Mike.
Someone's got to have a drink and it'll get better. It's right. It's like Craig McConnell's story when he was preaching. He was preaching like three times that Sunday morning, and his wife came up to him and said, "Okay, Craig, here's the deal. Either you need to have an espresso, or everyone in the congregation needs to have a shot of an espresso." Anyway,
oh,
hey guys,
man.
One more. Anyone else? We'll do one more if there's someone who'd like to, and then we'll shut it down.
Hey,
okay.
Any takers?
Oh. this is Tom Hancock. Do I have the liberty since I arrived a half an hour late?
Of course you do. Yes, you do.
You know, on that question, where I am right now, I think what I need is just to settle in with the peace that's in my heart of God saying, "Hey, you're just right where you want to, right where I want you to be." And you know, I'd rather be out, you know, fighting battles, you know, big outward giant things, or you know, or in meetings every day, or something. But God just has me in a spot that's just a, you know, keep doing my job with my whole heart and finding opportunities to love people, you know, when they come across my path. And, you know, it's not big and glitzy. It's not earth-shattering. But I think he's teaching me that, you know, the kingdom of God, it's little. In my heart, it's just the little contacts. It's the little times of, you know, saying I'm sorry to my wife or loving that person. But what I need is more peace, because it seems like something's missing, like I should be out there, like, going for it. So, I don't know, that's kind of where I am, and I totally have the heart of you guys, and I so respect listening to you guys. It's like, man, I want to get out and crush the serpent's head. And, but it just kind of seems like more, hey, Tom, it's just right here for now. That's where the crushing's going on. So anyway, that's my addition.
Yeah. Thank you, Tom. Thank you. Well, guys, listen, we're at an hour, and it's been really good. I mean, I knew it would if we would just get on the phone with each other and speak candidly and honestly, which are the type of men that we are in this group here. So this was really good. We're going to do more of these. So thank you.